right, everybody. Welcome to part three of our series that we've entitled Face to Face. And this is just a series that we're doing in August as we look forward to the fall. And fall is always a time of harvest. And before harvest, we need to water. And so we're actually setting this series aside as a time to get closer to God, seek God. When I say water, I'm talking about prayer. We've been doing 21 days of prayer, and we got 14 days, and we got 7 more to go. 14 under our belt and 7 to go. Let me just say, it doesn't stop with 7. Our prayer, our hope is that it will so get you oriented towards prayer and praying that every morning that you'll get up and make this a lifestyle. In fact, we've got some people that have started coming to the church at 7 a.m. each morning, and they're saying, man, I just wish we could do this all the time. Well, there we go. There's what we're hoping. It catches on, and it's, you just develop this close, intimate relationship with God. It has been absolutely awesome. And let me just mention to you that before we get started in this today, let me just give a shout-out. I just want to appreciate all of the Dream Teamers. I just appreciate every one of you. Especially want to appreciate those that are helping with our Crosspoint Kids ministry. A lot of great things are happening next door. I thought about showing you the pictures. I may yet show you the pictures, some pictures of the progress that is happening. But I don't want to scare you to death. They're pretty scary over there right now, but it's going to be very awesome. Some great, exciting things are happening next door, and I just appreciate all those that are putting time an effort into that and into ministering to our children. How do we believe children are important? Come on, everybody. By the way, they're not just our future, they're our now, okay? They're not just the generation of tomorrow, they're today's generation. And let me just dovetail with that also, just something I want to make you aware of and make this a matter of prayer as you're praying. And by the way, let me just throw this out on those connection cards that I mentioned a moment ago. The bottom section of that connection card, it's perforated for prayer request. I strongly encourage you to share your prayer request with us. It couldn't be a better time, because what's going to happen every day this week from 7 to 8 every morning, there's going to be people here, and you don't see it on Sundays, but this place is lined with connection cards. If you've ever put a request on the cross, when we do our encounter services with communion, we nail needs to the cross. All those are taken off, and we're spreading all that out there. I'm looking at some where I know God's already answered some of these prayers. That's awesome. But I look at some, and my heart breaks, and I weep over some of these needs. And I remember recalling one that I read, and it's about what I'm about to tell you about, and that is the needs of our orphans that we are in the process, the Zioners in the process of getting over here from Ukraine. Now, we've hosted some, and we've met some, and God's placed many in homes, but the Zioners are actually opening up their home to two more orphans, Olux and Vlad. And so excited about that. I want you to be praying about this process, because it's not an easy, small undertaking, and right now there's a change in the government in the Ukraine where it's now more complicated. All the forms that they have filed as now, that's aside. They got to start all over and do it a whole different way. Am I right on that? And so they just shared with me their heart this morning. And I just want to encourage you, make that a matter of prayer, because don't you know that God can go into the king's chamber and he can and he can cause there to be a release. If God can free how many out of Egypt that were in bondage, a whole nation, then surely God can release two orphans to come to the Zioner home and to the Cross Point, to a family where they need to find. Are you hearing me this morning? Please help me pray about this. And also, furthermore, if God would lead you to support them financially in this endeavor, just do what God would have you do in that. In fact, if you got some creative ideas how they can raise some funds, I'm sure they'd be all ears. And so I just wanted to share. I felt like what their heart today, and just want to share that with you, because that's all of our hearts. Right, everybody? Right? Come on, right? Right? All right. Just want to mention that, and again, a lot of changes are happening right now. So excited about some things that are coming up. And I just want to encourage you to set aside some time for prayer. I've been praying every morning, arriving here every morning. Yesterday was the first morning I couldn't make it because of my work. I could not be here. I've actually changed my work schedule. It's that important. asked my boss if I could change my schedule so I could come in later and be here for the prayer. Yesterday's the only day I missed, but I really didn't miss it because I was on my device. I was there with you guys. And so I was praying and with you and connecting. We have a live stream with thousands of other people that are getting up even earlier than we are, praying and seeking God together for revival across our nation and the world. And so I encourage you, if you cannot physically be here, connect through that way. Connect with us, and let's join together. I believe there's power in agreement, okay? I believe there's power in agreement. And something happens, I think, when we come together for prayer in a unified way. I believe God does great things, and he honors that. I want us to go ahead and get into our message here real quickly. And I want us to look at our theme verse, which is really the goal of what we're aiming for in this series and in our lives with God. It's found in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. You can find your message notes there also in your worship guide and take some notes along with us today. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Now, this describes the relationship that Moses had with God. It was a very, very close relationship. It was described as a relationship of being a face-to-face relationship, so close with God that it felt like it was face-to-face. It was very intimate. And then it says, as a man speaks with his friend. And I like that because a lot of times when we think about prayer, oftentimes we think when we start to pray, we talk in a different way to God than we do to our neighbor or our friends or our family. And we get in this kind of real formal mode, or we use these real pretty words that we don't use with anyone else. And really, I believe that our prayer shouldn't really look like that, but actually it should look like this relationship that Moses had with God, in that it was a conversation that looked as if it was a man speaking to a friend face to face. It was an intimate kind of relationship, and I believe that's what God is looking for. He wants to have a close relationship with us, very intimate relationship with us. And for most of us, we would probably say, well, you know, I love God and I want to be close to God, but it really doesn't feel that way. He seems to be distant and there's not that closeness. It's not what we would feel like is called a face-to-face relationship. And so I want to lead you in through some encounters in this series where it feels close and intimate. See, the goal even of our church is this. Our goal here at Crosspoint is that you get into a vibrant, intimate relationship with God. Because if that happens, everything in your life changes. To which you might say, well, you're setting the bar pretty high there. This is Moses we're talking about, and trust me, I'm no Moses. But let me point you to this scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18 in the Message translation that says this, whenever though they, and that speaks to you and me, they, let's look at that as it's speaking to the church, whenever the church, turned to face God as Moses did, in other words, we decide we want to get close to God, here's what happens. God removes the distance, the thing that's in the way, the veil, and there they are, face to face. And that's the title of our series. But then notice the progression. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone, not distant, not removed, not he's up there in heaven somewhere, floating somewhere, and I'm way down here and he's not involved in my life and doesn't care about me. Instead, no, he is here, as the Bible describes. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is present. He is a God that is a living, personal presence. And that's really what we want, and that's really what we need, is a personal God. And notice, and when God is a personally present living spirit, that old constricting legislation, and just put the word there in place of legislation, religion. In other words, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. You know, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't feel like reading my Bible, but I'll do it. I don't want to pray, but I'll pray. Now, I think it's good to have a great habit, but there should be more than just a habit and just a religious activity that's formal. we should have a relationship. And it says that that legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. And now notice the transition, what happens. And then here's what happens. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. Notice this, that the closer you get to God, somebody needs to get this now, the closer you get to God, the more you look like God. And that's very important because there is a purpose. And so it says, and so we are transfigured. In other words, the way you look changes. And this is where the Christian walk becomes fun because there's this gradual progression. It's a gradual progression that happens. It says that much like the Messiah, we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually, step by step, incrementally, step by step, becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. We begin to reflect Him. You know, when you hang around somebody a long time, you begin to look like them, whether you want to or not. You begin to talk like them, sound like them, whoever you hang out with. It rubs off on you. Guess what? When you get in an intimate relationship with God, there's going to be a transformation in your life, and that's the goal. Now get this. The goal is not for you to have a warm fuzzy. The encounter with God that we're talking about, it's not in order for us to have a warm fuzzy feeling. It's not for our personal entertainment. But the purpose is for a progression to begin in our hearts and in our lives. And look at this. You look at every encounter in Scripture. I challenge you. Go research it. Go look at all of them. In the Old Testament, New Testament, in the life of Jesus, where there was this encounter with God, where God revealed Himself in this face-to-face manner. And in every place, the same pattern exists every time. And that's the message here. And here's the thing. If this same pattern exists every time, it stands to reason that the same pattern and progression that God wants, that's the same pattern and progression that God wants to do in our lives. In order for you to have it in your life, you need to recognize it, and I'm going to help you recognize it today. Because every time He would touch them, here's what would happen. Every time He would touch them, He would change them, and He would call them. He would touch them, He would change them, and He would call them every time. You look at every story where God met with people. He would touch them. He would show Himself strong in their lives. Then a process of change took place, but then He used all of that to use them to accomplish something great on the earth. You need to see this. You need to see this. I'm convinced that one of the biggest things that you can do for yourself is to pursue God enough to find out why you're on this planet. If you don't know why you're on this planet, I'm telling you, life is miserable. And you're always searching. You heard about Robin Williams that died of suicide, apparent suicide this week. And interesting, as I was driving to work, I was listening on the radio and I heard a little clip from an interview that he had with someone, and he was talking about how he was always searching for meaning. He was always on this constant search and couldn't really find out the meaning of why he was here and what life was all about. He was always searching, searching, searching. I want to tell you, you need to know why you're here. You need to understand why you're on this planet. Because here's the thing, people without vision perish, the Bible tells us. Without meaning in your life, you die. And if you don't physically die, something on the inside dies. Because listen, trust me, life is more than paying bills, going to school, going to work, taking care of everything that you got to take care of, and it's this endless cycle. There's more to it than that of just going through this routine of trying to survive. We need to go from survival mode to significance mode. Our life needs to have significance. We need to know why we're here, right? And the more you get connected with your purpose in life, I believe the happier you'll be. And so it's important that we understand that. The purpose of an encounter is to point you to that place. It's not for our entertainment, but for God to show us what the purpose of our life is. And so I want to look at Isaiah's encounter here today. Isaiah's encounter. And as a reminder, I put in here the story again of Moses. We talked about that last week where he revealed himself to Moses. And you know the story. He revealed himself to Moses. He changed Moses. And then he sent Moses on an assignment to go and get the children of Israel out of Egypt. I won't even read through that. I'll let you have that just as a reminder. In other words, that's our platform. That's what we're basing this off of, is that there's this pattern that was set there in Moses. And we see this in every encounter. And look, I want to jump right into this story, though, of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. In the year that Uzziah died. Now, that's important, and let me explain why. Unless you know the history there, you wouldn't understand the significance of this, but here's the deal. King Uzziah went to be the king at the young age of 16 years old. Imagine being the king of a nation at the age of 16, but he was actually a very good king, and he served God. He served him faithfully, and God blessed. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't finish well. Later in his life, he became prideful, and he actually treated with contempt God's presence. There was a way that you were to approach God. God had set up a protocol that you were to observe, and Uzziah actually ignored that protocol, and pride had risen up in his heart. He thought he could just do things any way that he wanted to. He was a king, and pride rose up in his heart. And let me just tell you, every time pride enters our heart, it leads to downfall. Every time. Write it down. Every time. It leads to our downfall. The Bible actually says pride goes before a fall. And I was in a Chinese restaurant yesterday, and I got my fortune cookie. Okay, I'm not saying I believe in fortune cookies, but I got one, and I thought it was pretty cute what it said. And I just love this. Fits so good right here. It says, Confucius say, show off, always shown up in showdown. If you're like me, I had to read about three times before I got it. Did you get that? Show off, always shown up in showdown. That's pretty good. That's just saying the same thing the Bible said. Pride goeth before a fall. And so we must stay humble before the Lord. But what happened was Uzziah was very prideful, and so he was humbled in the fact that he was stricken with leprosy, and he actually died a very shameful death. But it sent the nation in an uproar, and there was great sadness. And in this moment of crisis, in this moment of chaos, notice that Isaiah saw the Lord. Let me pause right there and say this. It usually takes crisis in our life to get our attention. It takes crisis to get us to run to God. Can I give you a little free pastoral advice here? And that would be, don't wait for a crisis to run to God. Take the initiative yourself. Now, God doesn't send things evil to you, but he'll allow things to happen in order that you may come to your senses and run to him. He'll allow things to happen. I don't know about you, but I would much rather just come to him because he's God and I need him rather than have to go the difficult route. You know, you can do it the hard way or the easy way. I'd rather do it the easy way. How about you? And so it says this, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Here's what happened. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw a God that was bigger than he had in his own mind. He was huge. His train filled the temple. He saw the glory of God. He saw a God that was bigger than he had had in his mind. And then it says that about him was seraphs. It's a Bible name for angels. Each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. With two, they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is what I want us to see. And that is, number one, they're in your notes, God wants to reveal himself to me. God wants to reveal himself to me. He's more powerful and even more amazing than you could ever imagine. But how do we get there? Here's what I believe. I believe every step we take, it needs to be a step toward God. We need to take concrete, tangible steps toward God. I've shared this, and this comes to my mind again, of a story of a pastor who actually formerly was a youth pastor. And when he was pastoring youth, he had this philosophy in his approach, and that was, and it's a philosophy I believe that works with youth or adults, and that is that don't come to the youth and people saying, don't do this and don't go there and don't listen to this and don't watch this and, you know, don't listen to her and don't watch, you know, stay away from alcohol and stay away from that movie, stay away from that, and don't. Rather, if you can lead them into an encounter with God and they recognize how big God is and what a great God he is, here's what's going to happen. They're going to encounter God so much and discover their purpose in God that all these other things are just going to fall by the wayside, right? And this pastor actually was saying how he took this group of young people, he took them to a retreat, and sometimes you need to get out of your norm, step out of the norm if you really want to encounter God and do something different. Moses pulled aside to see that thing, the burning bush, right? Sometimes we got to pull aside, and so he would take these young people, and he would have a retreat, and they would go to this retreat called World Changers, and they would get them alone away from all of the stuff, and he would pull them into this retreat. And I sincerely believe that we need to get away from the stuff at times and just seek the Lord. That's why we're doing the 21 days of prayer that we're doing. It's something different. Some of you aren't used to getting up like that and coming and meeting with God. But I encourage you, if you want to have an encounter with God, you need to step towards him. And guess what? When you step toward him, he's going to step towards you. All right? And so, actually, the story goes about this particular retreat where these young people went. That there was a speaker that was supposed to speak that evening, but he actually came to the platform early before his scheduled time to come, and there was obviously he was going to say something significant. God had laid something on his heart, and he looked at those kids, about 500 kids there and adults, and he said to them, "Hey, everybody, if Jesus showed up here right now, if he physically walked in this room today, right now, what would you do? I mean, what would you do?" And they got to thinking, well, I don't, you know, what would I do? Would I fall down? What would I do? And then he said, "Hey, everybody, he's here." And when he said, "He's here," as if it was choreographed and planned, but it wasn't, everybody, not one after another, everybody at the same time, boom, hit the deck on their face. And there was a revelation of God's presence in the room. And they all at the same time, I mean, boom, hit the floor and worship to God. And nobody looked up for a solid hour as God visited them. Guess what, everybody? When those kids left there, you didn't have to tell them to stay away from this and that and the other. They had encountered God, and they were drawn to him, and that stuff just disappeared, right? In fact, what I have, the story goes on to say that what came out of that today there's hundreds of pastors that are great pastors and some of the greatest missionaries in the world today that are serving him and making a difference. Why? Because they had an encounter with God. My desire for us today is that we would encounter his presence. It's not about a message. It's not about message notes. It's not about lights. It's not about all this stuff. It's all about the presence of God. And everything we do here is so the hope that you will encounter his presence. Actually, it's in our theme of what we do here. Our hope is that you will encounter the cross, that you'll experience the change, right? That you'll embrace the call and that you'll engage the culture. That's what we do here. And we pray that you would encounter his presence, that you encounter the power of the living God. And I want to tell you, God wants to reveal himself to you, but you may need to pull away from your norm and do everything you can and take this opportunity to seek him and to go after him. But notice the next step in the progression. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 again. It goes on to say, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. And so Isaiah was saying, I now see him, but now I have this dilemma. And that is this, that whenever you see how big God is, you'll begin to see how small you are. And a lot of times what we do, we start wrestling in ourselves and we say, I can't get close to God because I know what I did last week. And you get reminded of yourself and you see yourself as unworthy and unclean. And this is what happened to Isaiah. And he says, for I am a man of unclean lips. So I got some language issues. I say things I shouldn't say. And I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. But notice what happens. God never leaves you there. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And that may not mean much to you, but what that means is that there was an altar there where they sacrificed animals. And he took a piece of that sacrifice. And with it, it says, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Now, folks, we don't sacrifice animals anymore because Jesus is our sacrifice and he has paid for all of our sins. And what happened, what you could insert there is that God took Jesus and he touched our lives. And now we are clean and we are whole and we are worthy, not in of ourselves, but in who he is. Amen? Come on, everybody. Give me a good amen right there. I need a good amen right there. I was praying this week and I said, oh, God. I was actually, you know, sometimes you go through different modes of praying. Sometimes you're like, man, I'm there. And other times you're like, I'm trying to get there. And I was praying this week, and I had one of those I'm trying to get there moments. And God just spoke, dropped it in my heart, begin to thank me. And I began to thank him. And as I began to thank him, I realized something. I began to thank him for this fact, and that is that oftentimes we see ourselves of who we are without Christ trying to get to who he is. But when we come to Christ, guess what? Everything he is comes to us because we trade our unrighteousness for his righteousness. Our filthy rags are traded for his spotless robe of wholeness, of cleanness. And our unworthiness we trade for his worthiness. So now, and guess what? We may be unholy, but in him, guess what? We're made holy. And so now we can say, I am holy. Not because I'm holy, but because he in me is holy. I'm clean and I'm whole and I'm worthy, not in and of myself, because my new identity is in him. Are you getting this morning? Is anybody getting this today? I mean, I don't know about you, but that excites me. And this is what happens. In every story, this second step happens. First, there's a discovering of how big God is, but then there's a discovery that, number two, get this, God wants to cleanse me. And as you're taking notes there, God wants to cleanse me, put this word in that also up above that word cleanse, and that's the word change. He wants to change me. God wants to do something in me and not leave me in the condition that I'm currently in. If you're not saved, he cleanses you and you're whole and you're complete in him. But change is a progression throughout your Christian journey. So what do we do? Practically speaking, let me just give you these words. In the morning, tomorrow morning, take a step toward God. Take a step toward God. It's a constant progression of change. The Bible says that we're changed from glory to glory. That verse that we read earlier, one translation says it's from glory to glory. It's one step at a time. But you can never get to your purpose in life, which is where this is going, unless you take a step. You can never get to your future until you settle your past. I'm going to repeat that again. You can never get to your future until you settle your past. And the devil wants to define you by your past, but God wants to define you by your future, everybody. Come on, somebody give me a praise. Give God a praise for that today. I'm preaching a lot better than y'all are amening. I'm just saying. Question is, how do we deal with our past? Sin is paid for, and we are forgiven, but yet oftentimes there's still this struggle with our past, with addictions, with habits, with bad language, whatever it is. And what is God's plan? Well, God's plan is that he always uses relationships. He always uses relationships. If you look throughout Scripture, pray for one another that you may be healed. Get this. You need to get into a relationship with someone so that you get close enough that you can share some things with them. You haven't told anybody, so somebody can help you with that thing and work those things out. And let me just say this. You're only as sick as your secret. If you've got a secret that you're not telling anybody, guess what? You are one step away from disaster. You need to tell somebody. And I'm not saying tell somebody. I'm not saying say tell just anybody. But you need to get in a relationship where you can have somebody that loves you and that you can trust them. And you can confide in them, and you can open up, and you can share, and together, you're going to work through that thing. God set it up that way. We were made for relationships, because a couple things are going to happen. First of all, they're going to help you with issues that you know you got in your life that you need help with, and you can't. You think you can solve it yourself, and you think, I'll just man up and do it, and it doesn't ever work. And you allow that person to come in and talk into your life and speak into your life and pray with you and agree with you. And I'm telling you, there's strength and there's power in that. One put 1,000 to flight. The Bible says two will put 10,000 to flight. There's power in that. You need that. God said that we are to be our brother's keeper. We need each other. The second thing that's happened is not only they're going to help you with issues that you know about, they're going to help you with issues that you don't know about. Right? Because get this. I want to make sure I say this right. We've all got issues. And you got issues that you don't see that we all see. I mean, look at somebody say, that's the truth. And nothing more profound has been said than that, because there's some things about you that you don't see, and I've been trying to tell you, but you just don't see it. There's some spinach right here in your teeth, and I've been trying to, really, I got something there? I'll never forget somebody I went out to eat with, and she was in this little booth area, you know, and there was this dividing glass. She thought it was like a mirror, and she was trying to see something in her teeth, and she's looking at it, and then she realized on the other side, it wasn't a mirror, it was a glass, and there was somebody's face right on the other side of that, and she was doing this right in her face. I mean, you just don't want to do this to anybody, but I'm telling you, you got somebody that knows you. You should have somebody that knows you that you will allow them to speak into your life, and they say, did you know that you do this? No, really? I do that? I didn't know that. Really, I do that? Yeah, you do. And we need somebody to check our blind spots, to help us. And God puts us in relationship to be able to work through this. And God wants to do this deep work in your life. He does it through his relationships. Okay? Through life change and through, he comes and heals us through relationship. But it doesn't stop there. He moves us and he leads us through. Every encounter in the Bible shows us this. He reveals himself. He cleanses them. He changes them. And notice what happens next. Look at the story. Isaiah chapter 6 again, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, here's what's next, Isaiah. Whom shall I send? He says, I've got some things I need done on the earth, and I need a volunteer. And notice, in every encounter, from Moses to Paul, from cover to the maps, God reveals himself, changes a person, and then gives them an assignment. And the same is true for you. Look at me, everybody. God has an assignment for you. He has something specific for you to do. And the world will only be touched to the degree that we discover what that is. The best part of life is when you know why you're breathing air. When you know why you exist. And look what he says. And who will go for us? Right there, it's the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? God is calling us. And he said, here am I, send me. He thought to himself first, I'm too messed up to help anybody. But no, what God reveals is that God uses messed up people to help messed up people. It ain't that all of us have it all together and we got it all figured out. He uses messed up people to help messed up people. Right? We're all in this thing together. And he said, go tell this people. And then I put dot, dot, dot. And there's the rest of the story, and you can read that. But the rest is Isaiah's assignment, but it's not yours. It was always a different assignment for someone. For Moses, the assignment was go get my people out of Egypt. Okay, all right, God, I'll go do that. For Paul, it was, Paul, I need you to bring the gospel to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles. Okay, I'll go do that. And God's assignment for you is something special and something different. But God has an assignment, and that's what counters are for. And we need to realize this, They're not for goosebumps. Encounters are not just to feel good. You know, that felt good. Go to the house, roast beef. Encounters are for this. Third point, God wants to use me. God wants to use me. One of the best things you can discover is why you are on the planet. And the whole programming of this church, we're doing some different things right here. And I've had people look at me, what are you doing? That looks like that's a little much for me. I don't know what you're doing. It's very simple. We're going to do four things. But everything really has been built around these three points, that God wants to touch us, change us, and God wants to use us to make a difference in the world. And everything we do is about that. The purpose, guess what? The purpose of Sunday morning. Sunday morning, drum roll, you want to know what we're here for? You know why we're here? So that you'll have 1 second in the presence of God where you encounter Him and where you say, He's real. He's not just a religion. He's real. And He knows me. He loves me. He cares about me. He's with me. That's the whole purpose of everything we do around here, is to give an opportunity to create an environment of faith and encouragement so that you'll be able to walk into the presence of God and recognize His presence is real. That's the whole purpose of Sunday mornings. It's not about hearing a pretty message. It's not about videos. It's not about a pretty song. It's about the presence of God. All this is so you encounter His presence. Because in His presence, He'll change us. And that's the second thing we do here, is we want to see change happen in your life. So we want to get you into relationships with people that will impact your life. That's why we're focusing on small groups, so that somebody can get up close to you and say, there's some spinach right there in your teeth, right there, right now, right over here, right? A couple of weeks, we're going to be launching our small groups. We're going to be unveiling next week what those small groups are. So excited about it. If you would love to lead a small group, we got some training today. It'll happen right after service today with Steve Guptill, and he'll walk you through some things of how to lead effectively. You can do it. If you throw a frisbee, you can lead a small group, okay? If you walk a dog, you can lead a small group. If you crochet and knit, you can lead a small group. I'm telling you, if you can cut down a limb off of a tree, you can turn it into a small group. Are you hearing me? We'll show you how. But really, whether it's Bible study, where it's getting in the Word, a video session, whatever it is, the whole goal really is not just that curriculum. It's all an excuse that you'll get close to somebody and get in relationship where you can help each other and you can begin to grow. Really? Are you hearing me? That you can grow and help one another and see change and life change happens. And then the third thing that we do is that what we call the growth track. We roll it every month. It's a wheel. We roll every month, and here's the purpose of it. It leads people to be a part of something that changes their lives. It takes you through four steps. Because if God has a plan in your life, you need to do, I believe, four things to get there. Number one, you need to find a good church. There's a lot of great churches. We're not the only church, but you need to find a good church. And you need to be a part of it, because a local church is the hope of the world. God never came up with anything else. He doesn't have another plan. He wants to fulfill Ephesians 3:10 that says that it was God's intent that His manifold wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God, be made known through His church. That's God's plan. He wants to empower churches to carry this message of hope to a dying, sick, crying world. Amen? And the second part of that growth track is essentials. And it's just a process of four things in essentials. Two of them, it happens the second week of every month, that we take you through and help you discover four things to get you close to God, so that then you can get into the third part of the growth track, which happens the third Sunday, which happens to be today, Discovery 301, where we help you discover what God's called you to do and how He's made you to, and will help point you to what He's called you to do, your personality, your spiritual gifts, all these things are going to point you to your purpose so that you can be a part of a team making a difference, which will lead you to the fourth part of the growth track, which is Dream Team 401, where you can say, here am I, send me. Coach, put me in the game. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a participant. Get involved, make a difference in the world. And that may sound real complicated. It's real simple. It's something called a growth tracker. There's four parts to it. One, two, three, four. We do it every month. First Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. Happens every week after church. You want to be a part of it? Come this after church date. We'll show you how. But the reason we do all this is because, listen, God wants to touch you, cleanse you, change you, and to use you. I want to conclude with this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That says it pretty well right there, doesn't it? God wants to use us. This growth track we have is a process to help you discover that. But let me give you a clue where, probably you're going to be used. It'll probably be that God will use you in the same area where he's touched your life. Those that have struggled with alcohol and God's delivered them and set them free, God can take that mess and he turns it around for you to be used in that same ministry to bless somebody else. For men, particularly, have had problems with pornography, and God has set them free from that, can help speak into lives of other men because they've been there and know how to speak into them to get them delivered into a new place. Amen? People that have gone through divorce can help people who have been through divorce and minister into the lives in the area of their need. Amen? And isn't it beautiful? Because that thing that you know the devil sent to be a tragedy in your life, God turns it around and he uses that and turns it into a ministry. Amen? And so that's the way God uses us. Let me just give you this in closing. When God touches me, he'll use me to touch others. That's your last point there. When God touches me, he'll use me to touch others. After you've written that, would you just bow your heads right where you are? God, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to understand what this thing's all about. It's not just going through the motions, but God, you want to know us. You want to have a relationship with us. You want to deliver us and set us free. You want to redeem us and give us your purpose and what you designed us really to be and do with our life. And for our life to make a difference in rescuing others. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to be a church that gets it, that gets it. God, this is not about us having a party on Sunday, going home, business as usual. It's about us, oh God, drawing closer to you and having an intimate relationship with you. You touching and changing our lives forever and using us then to make an impact on this world. God, help us to get it. Help us to get it. Help us to say, here am I, use me. Let us be. Let us be your hands. Let us be your feet. God, you want us. You want to use us. God, may we be willing to allow you to use us. Today, my heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. You're here today and you know that you do not have that intimate relationship with God. You're not where you need to be with him. Maybe you've never had a relationship with him, or it may be that you've had a relationship, but you know you're just not where you need to be. You're not in that close of intimate relationship. Things, not on purpose, but somehow things have pulled you away and he's over there and you're over here and it's not working and you're saying today, I need this. I want to help you get there today. I wanted you to encounter his presence. And you say, well, he's done all that. What is my part? What do I do? It's as simple as this, and it's found in this word, surrender. Surrender. It's just a matter of saying, God, I give up. I surrender. It's so simple. It's so easy, but yet it will cost you everything because God doesn't just want you to surrender one part, but everything. And when you do that, when he has all, I'm telling you, he'll change your life. You'll enjoy life you've never enjoyed. I know that on authority because God said Jesus has come that he had to give us life and life to the fullest. He doesn't just want you to survive. He wants you to thrive. Today, if that's you and you know that you need that relationship with him renewed, maybe it's the first time or maybe it's just a renewal of a commitment, I want to pray a prayer with you, a simple prayer of surrender. If that's you right now, I want you to be bold enough. No one's looking around. But I just want you just to slip up a hand so I know who I'm agreeing with in prayer. And just very boldly, just reach up your hand real high and just put it right back down. Yes, God bless you today. Others, yes, over here. Yes, I see you. God bless you today. Anyone else? Just lift up a hand. That's me. I need this. I need him. When you pray, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Anyone else? Just quickly slip up a hand. Put it down. All right? Those of you that have lifted your hands, I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. I just want you to simply pray this prayer there where you are. From in your heart to the Lord, you can breathe it under your breath. You can pray it loud. It doesn't matter because we're proud and stand with you in this. But it's between you and the Lord. But would you just pray these words? Let it be your prayer, and I'm just going to lead you. Just simply say this. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender. I give you my life, my yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Forgive me for going my way. Today, I choose your way. I believe that you died for me, and now, by faith, you have forgiven me. I believe that. So I receive your forgiveness. I turn from my ways, my sins, and I accept you fully as my Lord, as my Savior. Today, be my closest friend. I commit my life to you, and with all of my heart, I will serve you as you help me to do so. Thank you, Jesus. God, I celebrate those today that have prayed that prayer. And I pray, God, that you, O Lord, would just begin a change process in their life. God, I pray that every step, every day, will be closer to you. And that you teach them through every situation that you're Lord of all. And that they would begin to be fulfilled in their finding their purpose. God, I thank you for it right now. And I celebrate new life today. And God, this moment in faith, God, I believe today that they're touched, they're cleansed by your power. God, I thank you that they have encountered you today. We believe and we receive that in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's praise God for what he's done in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Praise God. That is what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Oh, praise God. Praise God. I want to encourage you today. If you want to know more about, I've already mentioned it in the message, but if you want to know more about how's God put me together, for me, Discovery 301 is the most fun part of the growth track, and that's today. There's a meal involved. Child care is available. We'd love for you to be a part of that. As our ushers are coming, we prepare to worship the Lord with our gifts. Let me just mention something to you. Today, if you made a decision for the Lord, you made a commitment, whatever that looks like, would you take a moment and just check a box on that connection card? We would love to send you a letter to help you with what your next steps need to be. We're not going to come by or call you. I just want to simply send you a letter congratulating you for that decision and also giving you some information of what your next steps need to be. We would love the opportunity to do that, and we thank you so much for that. Can we stand together? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of worshiping you with our gifts. I pray, God, your blessings upon these gifts. I thank you for meeting the needs, God, of your church. But Lord, I also pray, when I pray your church, I thank you for meeting the needs of all your people, all the families. I thank you for jobs. I thank you for income. I thank you for blessings. I thank you for peace in homes. I thank you for your presence that's with us every place we go. God, I pray your blessings upon this church as we worship you with our gifts. God, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, everybody, amen.